Hello and welcome to Deliverability Defined. My name is Alyssa.
I'm Melissa.
Thanks for listening. I forgot for a second that we don't have an intro like we used to have, so I can't just like start talking.
Yep.
But yeah, thanks for being here with us talking about nerdy email stuff. How are you doing today, Melissa?
I am doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm great. I just heard my cat do a big meow in the background.
Oh my gosh.
And he might do a lot more. I know. The theme of this podcast is like...
I know. Pets gone wild.
Our pets are crazy.
Yeah. I know. Hopefully, I mean, the mailman may be coming at a specific time today. So if you hear the bark, sorry.
I think our team usually edits those out, but man, do I have a heart attack every time it happens.
I know. I'm so sorry. It's the worst.
That's okay. It's so loud and sudden.
It's horrible.
Oh, gosh. So I hope.
It's jarring.
I hope our team is editing those out. I'm pretty sure they are. They're great. If not, I'm very sorry. I'm trying to think if there's anything new that we should catch each other up on. You didn't watch Love is Blind, so we can't talk about that.
I know. I'm so sorry. I know. Were you surprised? Okay, well, I can ask you, though. Like, were you – because it was the season finale. Is that right?
Yes, there's still a reunion coming with that I can't wait for, but it was the season finale.
How was the was it surprising? Was it exciting? Was it what you expected?
I don't think super surprising. Really, this season, all the couples, I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if none of these people get married. I will say one couple ended up getting married. Hopefully that's not a spoiler alert for anyone. It's been out for a while at this point once you're hearing this. And yeah, I wasn't super surprised. Maybe more surprised about how it all went down. And, but yeah, it was still very entertaining. Yeah, can't wait for the drama at the reunion. You have to watch it.
Okay, I will do my best. I have time this weekend, so maybe I'll spend my time doing that.
Good. Okay, cool. Well, we will jump into our topic of the day. We are going to talk more about replies, why replies are a deliverability superpower. And I wanted to share this really fancy trick that I helped a sender with that I think is so cool. And ever since he did it, his replies are absolutely through the roof. It's can get a little technical. So I have a video recording walking you through it and I'll let you know how to find that recording.
Cool.
But let's first jump into replies. Melissa, tell me why you love replies.
I love replies, or I love giving the advice to senders to ask for replies to their mail, because there are so many different reasons why it's helpful for deliverability and for senders in general. A couple of things I can think of off the top of my head are replies make your emails seem more one-to-one and not as like bulk or promotional as what... It's not a bad thing that our, obviously all of our senders at ConvertKit are using our service, our platform to send bulk mail. But in doing that, it can make, you know, you're typically like sending emails that look more general for an audience. They're not like to your grandma or to your best friend. And so when you get replies to those bulk emails that you send, it makes those emails look more one-to-one, which is really helpful to help boost your overall domain reputation. It's a really positive signal that mailbox providers like to see. And then the second reason that I can think of that's just helpful in general is content creation. I think that's one that a lot of people maybe don't think about, but it's a great way to get feedback from your audience to see what else you can provide for them, maybe give you ideas, free, you know, easy ideas about what you can do to create more content.
Yeah, that's such a good one that we are going to get into more, just to emphasize what you said about signals. Because I know we've said this in lots of episodes, but who knows which episode, you know, people have listened to. So whenever you send out an email to your audience is sending back basically signals to mailbox providers like Gmail and Yahoo, et cetera. And those signals are what determine your domain reputation and your deliverability. There are positive signals and there are negative signals. So the goal is to get as many positive signals as possible and as little negative signals as possible. And from what we've seen, replies are the strongest positive signal you can get, better than just opens or clicks, which are great. Those are positive. But a reply is like a super positive signal that this is a wanted email. And like you said, Melissa, it is more transactional in nature, which might help you get more into that primary tab than the promotions tab. And then some negative signals, like the biggest negative signal is marking a message as spam. So just so you understand those signals and what we're talking about here, that's why we really like to help people boost replies, because we have seen it help deliverability so much. And it also can build a great relationship with your audience.
Yeah, definitely. Multiple positive outcomes. We like those.
For sure. So I can first dive into my like fancy way to get a ton of replies. It's not for everyone, but for the sender I've helped them set this up with, they have a huge email list and it works really well for them. So you can imagine they're getting tons of replies in their inbox, but they've found a way to make it all happen automatically and filtered nicely to where it doesn't interrupt them too much. So I will give like a brief overview of this fancy technique and then tell you how to get a guide that walks you through it.
Perfect. I'm excited.
Yeah. So I was talking to this customer about their deliverability, how to get more replies. And we came up with this great idea about, you know, we were talking about the first email you send someone. Let's say someone signs up to your email list. I'll pretend I'm a food blogger and my lead magnet is
cookies.
Yes, cookies. Chocolate chip cookie recipe. Melissa's Perfect. Favorite. Yeah.
Sign me up.
Yes. You would be my first subscriber. So most of the time, Melissa would sign up for that lead magnet and she immediately receives an email that says, here's your free cookie recipe PDF. Download here, whatever it may be. But this person is going to instead send an email that says, you signed up. You know, here's the, or you're going to receive the cookie recipe if you reply cookie to this email. And then, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then once they reply to the email, they automatically get an email back from the creator with the cookie recipe PDF. So it's instead of making people click a button to kind of confirm their opt-in and receive that lead magnet, whatever it may be, you're asking them to reply to your email to get the lead magnet.
I love that.
And this has gone really well for the person who set it up. So it's been awesome.
It's really similar to, which I know this well because I have a problem, shopping problem. But if you're on Instagram and you see a person that you follow who says, here's all of my favorite Amazon home decor finds.
Oh, yeah.
Comment shop or whatever in the comment section and I'll send you the link.
It's my favorite thing ever.
Guess who does that all the time? Me, all the time.
Me.
I always reply.
Same. I've done it constantly.
Yeah. I always post. I'm like, I need that, whatever that is, like send me the link, please, please. Like,
yeah, it's genius.
It is genius.
It works.
And I always do it.
Yeah. And you know, the creator gets good engagement boost from it, which is awesome. And then also us, you know, users, subscribers, we're getting the content really easily in our inbox,
yeah,
which is what we want. So it's a win-win for everyone.
It actually is great. I've never thought about it that way before. So like, I've always said this, that I wish that Instagram had a better way to organize things because it's like, sometimes I'll be like, I know I saw this somewhere and I don't remember who it was or what the exact link was. But yeah, you're right. This way, like I can just go to my messages and see where I commented, whatever, for whatever like product I wanted, and I can just go find it easily.
So easy.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
Yeah, that's great.
So if you're interested in using that fancy trick or at least learning more about it, there are a few steps to make it happen. And I've only done it with Gmail. So I can only help you if you're using Gmail to manage your email inbox that you're sending messages from. But there is a Loom video that walks through the steps and you can get that if you go to deliverability.ck.page/reply. And if you sign up there, you'll get an email from me with the video walkthrough. We'll put that in the show notes too. I know the word deliverability is not fun to spell, but I'll say one more time, deliverability.ck.page/reply.
Love it.
Nice. And then we have some less fancy ideas too. If you don't want to get all crazy with your replies, there's still tons of great ways to get replies in a much more simple way, which Melissa, you kind of mentioned this. So I'd love to hear you talk about it, about kind of asking your subscribers a question to generate content for you.
Yeah, definitely. I think this isn't something that is maybe doable across all like niches. I've talked with customers before who are like, they have like an investor list basically that they talk about different kinds of like investing, which is high value, and there's just not like a lot of opportunity for them to ask general questions to their audience. So this might not be something that applies to everyone, but there are a lot of niches where I feel like this is a really helpful tool. And essentially, like, thinking of a question that your audience would be really interested in answering. So let's pretend you have like a podcast and you talk about, this is Alyssa and I's actual dream job, to like talk about current
Love is Blind.
Love is Blind the whole time. Yeah. Current. What am I trying to say? Pop culture. Yes. Thank you. I had 4 meetings before this episode. So like, I'm so sorry if my words are getting mixed up, but pop culture. And we said, like, what is the most influential like pop culture TV show to you? Or who's your least favorite person on this show? Or what and why? And, you know, like asking people questions they genuinely want to answer. I just like this because, number one, I think it's, if you can come up with a creative way to ask different questions, like people will answer. They will want to answer. They like to, like, people love to talk and they love being able to share their opinion and all of that. And then also, like, you just never know what kind of doors that's going to open for you as far as content goes. Like, if you're a creator, I'm sure you have had moments where you're like, I just don't have any inspiration for this week's newsletter, or I'm really struggling to figure out like what my audience is looking to talk about or what they're interested in. And I'm running into a writer's block. And this is such a great way to keep that content wheel going.
Yes, I love that so much. It's so funny because you and I have talked about this plenty of times over the last few years. And we went to Craft and Commerce last year, which is ConvertKit's conference. And one of our customers, Logan Urey, actually spoke about this topic, but in a way that I think you and I hadn't heard it before. And it was so interesting and wonderful and engaging. And she was talking about how she does this. She asks her audience to reply to her emails, and how it's kind of helped build this community amongst her readers, but she also uses the replies actually in the content of her emails. So she writes about dating advice. It sounds so interesting. And she'll ask like a question like, you know, tell me about a time when you've been stood up before, or what would you do if you were stood up, or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And then in her next email, all about being stood up, she has all these quotes from her subscribers mm-hmm. that people are reading through. And so it kind of feels like this community newsletter almost, where, you know, she's obviously writing it and leading it, but her subscribers are getting to be a part of it as well.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so interesting. And she talked about how great that's been for her audience engagement. So that's a fun way to look at it, is how do you build more of a community around your newsletter and make it more collaborative with your subscribers?
Yeah.
And also helps you figure out what to write about when you're going through that dry spell.
Yeah. I love it. I think it's a great idea.
Me too. Another one, it's been really popular right now to add like quizzes or polls to your email, which is really cool. But again, kind of similar to our first fancy example, what if you don't put the poll in your email in the traditional way, but instead you ask people to reply with their answers?
Yeah.
That way you're boosting those replies, boosting engagement, looks great. And if you really wanted to incentivize people to do it, let's say it was like kind of a quiz where there's a right answer. You could say like, for everyone who gets this right and replies to me, you'll be entered into a drawing to win an hour of mm-hmm. time with me for a consultation or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Or, you know, one of my free courses or whatever, paid course. But anyways, that is a really fun way to get your subscribers engaged with you, to also receive lots of replies and maybe do some fun incentives along the way. I cannot talk today.
I know. I'm having a really hard time too. So
it's a really hard.
So sorry. I love this idea too, because I am a huge trivia fan. I don't know if you knew that about me, but I love trivia.
I didn't know this, I don't think.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I love it. I can't say that I'm like fantastic at it, but I think it's so fun. I wish that we had like a place here in Tacoma to like go once a week. I have a best friend who her and her husband used to go to trivia once a week. And it was like this tradition that I was so jealous of because I thought it sounded so fun.
I love that. Trivia stresses me out so bad. So I'm glad you love it.
Yeah, I love it.
It depends on the kind of trivia. But if it's not like, if I don't know anything about what the questions are, it is so stressful.
I love general, like I like when they do different kinds of random topics, because I think most of us know a lot of random things. So when you get groups of people together and you figure out what each other like knows, it's just so fun. I don't know.
How do you feel about, sorry to go on a tangent, but this is interesting to me now. Okay. So at ConvertKit, especially back in the COVID days, we would sometimes do like virtual trivia sessions. How was that to you? Was it still fun or was it stressful? Because I was so stressed.
I generally speaking, which is ironic since we're like an all remote company, I don't love doing things on Zoom or video. Like it's just not as, I love doing in-person stuff. So it doesn't stress me out, but I just, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like we used to do, I don't know if you have, okay, this is a tangent and then we'll get back to it, but we had these like clickers in high school. And
oh, yeah.
Do you remember the blue clicker?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we would do those. We would do like live tests, or sometimes they would do like trivia. And if you won trivia, you got like 5 extra credit points on the test. And so my like claim to fame that I say all the time is that my favorite movie ever is The Sound of Music. And one time the question for 5 extra credit points on the test was, what is the national flower of Austria? And I knew it was Edelweiss because of the movie, and I got it right. And everybody was like, how in the heck did you get that? It was in high school.
That is so funny.
Yeah. So anyways, that's like my, I just love trivia because I think it's so funny when people know stuff and you're like, that is so obscure or random, or how do you like, how are you so smart? Not me, but other people.
I know. It's crazy. That's what I learned at the ConvertKit trivia, is because I have none of that kind of knowledge. That's like, oh, wow, interesting knowledge. I know dumb stuff like the Vanderpump Rules trivia, like whatever. NSYNC, like 90s, I could tell you all kinds of things, but yeah.
That was going to be my guess. Like you're going to have 90s so trivia. That's okay.
But not like the interesting stuff. And we have so many people on the ConvertKit team that have that interesting knowledge. And so I would be in these Slack groups. Like the way we've done it is everyone's in a Zoom room and there's a question. And then you're in tiny little Slack groups where you all are trying to figure out the answer together.
Yeah.
And there was one where I was like, oh, I finally know this one. And it was an F1 question because my husband had been watching F1. Mm. And I was like, which driver? Drives for a Mercedes or something. And I so confidently in like 5 seconds was like Max Hamilton, which is the combination of 2 drivers' names. And there's a Max Verstappen, I think, and Lewis Hamilton. And I was like, oh, it's Max Hamilton for sure.
That is.
And they were like, no.
That's not a person.
So anyways.
I love it. You kind of knew. I mean, you generally knew. I probably wouldn't have gotten anything. So you probably knew more than I did in that particular question. But
I only get things wrong in those groups. And then I just feel like such a dummy. And like all my coworkers hate me. So
that is not true. All your coworkers love you. But yeah, that's okay. So now you all know Alyssa and I's stance on trivia. And now I'm trying to go back. Oh, what I was going to say was if I was on someone's email list and they asked a trivia question, I would 1000% respond. I don't know if everybody has that kind of bizarre competitive drive to respond about trivia, but I absolutely love that idea. And again, I think it opens up like you could use the responses in your next newsletter. And like, it just, I don't know. Again, with the whole community thing, I just think you could have something going. It would be interesting.
I love that. Our last example here, I've used it a million times, but I just think it's a great one. It was that I remember when our CEO, Nathan, on his personal email list, he told everyone like, hey, I'm actually going to be creating a paid newsletter. It's going to be kind of secret. I'm not really promoting it anywhere but here. All about money.
This is a really good one.
If you're interested, reply. And he got like more replies than ever, of course.
Yep.
But I feel like most people who weren't as email savvy maybe or just weren't thinking about replies would just tell their list like, hey, this is what I'm planning on doing. Click here to sign up, which makes total sense. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like, think about instead of having people click to do things, is there a way you could have them reply?
Yep.
And for it to make sense and also boost your replies. So maybe if you have something new coming and you want to tease it out, be like, reply to let me know if you'd be interested. And they don't like, I think he eventually ended up sending everyone a purchase link, you know, who wants to sign up.
Yeah.
You don't actually have to keep up with the replies, but it's just sort of to get that boost. And also you get to gather some interest. Maybe you send it out and not as many people respond as you thought. And you'd be like, huh, I need to go back to the drawing board on how I pitch this.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're like, whoa, this is way more people than I thought would want to do this. That's great. So I think it has lots of benefits.
Yeah, that's a good point because I get that question a lot when I do talk about the whole reply thing. People are always like, oh, well, do I need to reply to every reply? So the answer, again, is no. You do not need to reply to every single person who replies to you. But it's just a great way to, like you said, collect data So,
and if you are going to be using any of these tips, I really recommend to set up a filter or folder in whichever email client you use. I use Gmail. And so I set up a filter so that if anyone replies to my newsletter, the way I did it was basically I said, if the subject line has RE in it and the word deliverability is somewhere, because that's the name of my newsletter, I knew it would always be in the emails, send it, like skip the inbox, send it to my newsletter replies tab. All my replies go there and I don't look at it on a regular basis.
I love that idea.
Yeah. Every now and then I'll click on it and I'll scroll through it and see if anything, you know, if I need to reply to anything or if I want to reply to anything, but I don't feel the pressure. A lot of times, because in my welcome email, I introduce myself and I ask people to write back and introduce themselves too. And people do. So a lot of them reply is like, hi, I'm so-and-so. Nice to meet you, which is great. I love reading them, but I don't feel any pressure to reply.
Right.
And I have a much smaller email list. I think if you have a really large email list, you don't even have to necessarily look at them. I don't think that's terrible. Mm-hmm. And people aren't expecting to receive replies back.
Yeah.
Alrighty. I think we covered replies. I'm sure there are lots and lots of other really creative ways people are getting replies. So if you have any, feel free to let us know. I think you know where to find us. We're both on Twitter. That's probably the best place, I would say.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I hope everyone has a great rest of their day. Thanks again for listening.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Deliverability Defined.
Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening. And if you have time, please leave us a review.
You can find a resource guide for today's show at convertkit.com/deliverability, where we outline all of the information you need to know from today's episode.
If you have a question or topic you want us to cover, let us know within the ConvertKit community or at convertkit.com/deliverability.
We'll see you next week.